Facing challenges and overcoming setbacks is part of doing business. Whether you have the expertise to survive them or not could mean the difference between success or failure. Welcome to We Are Women, featuring revealing conversations that provide invaluable insights into the success secrets of female masterminds. A must listen for every entrepreneurial woman. Now here's your host, Janine Vosper.
Hi, it's Janine Vosper here, and welcome to the We Are Women podcast. I am your host, a little bit different than what we would normally do. If you are able to see this online, we are recording it with video for the first time rather than just audio. So if you do want to see it on audio, you can go to my YouTube channel. Otherwise, I imagine you're just listening through your normal, regular, everyday podcasting channel. And to make it just that little bit more different, I have three guests with me today, and you are just going to love what they have to say. You're going to find so much value in it when it comes to talking about leadership. But I really want you to get you to know these three lovely ladies. We've got Carolyn Lovett, Julie Gillespie, and Carla Wall. And they're waving, which is really great for those that can see the video. This is going really interesting as well. It is. And all of them have, I've been working closely with them within a group called the Business Continuity Support Group. But each of these ladies have amazing skills and talents themselves. And I wanted to be able to share those talents. So I'm going to say hi to each one of them individually and just get them to give a little bit of a rundown on who they are and what they do. Not talking too much business. We want to know them personally. And then we will talk about how we can improve leadership and how we can move forward through difficult times. So first of all, I'm going to start with Carla. So Carla, it is, you're up.
Thanks, Janine. I always love going first.
I know that. That's why I went that way.
Hey, thanks for bringing us all together this morning. That's really great. I think it's nice to do something different, isn't it? As well as being on the podcast also. Provide a visual for people, particularly as there's a lot of people still working from home at the moment. Like last week with our business continuity conversations, I think those half hour chats through the business continuity support group are really great if you're having a morning or an afternoon tea, because I love eating cake. So I guess a little bit about me. I deem my hometown to be in Australia is Melbourne. I was born in Coventry in the UK. So I have two hometowns in two different countries.
And what are you doing here?
Well, you know, I'm kind of just in Britain. Yeah,
yes.
You have to have your birth town as the city that you first worked in.
She's here for the weather.
And you're right, I am here for the weather, Janine. Every time I go back to Melbourne, I think, no.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Sorry, go on.
No, that's good. And so we'll talk a little bit more about you as well. Now I will go to Julie Gillespie.
So I'm in Brisbane. This is, I guess, my hometown, even though I was brought up in Sydney. Anytime I ran away from home, I came to Queensland. And I've done that often, coming from family business, being the younger daughter. You tend to just need to get out and explore one's own self. And so I did that all the time coming up here to Queensland. So I got the husband and a couple of kids with me up here. And
I work for cats.
Yeah, you've
got cheaper.
Oh my God, there's, and you don't have to homeschool cats.
No, anyway. That's a big bonus.
that's another trauma. Yeah, so I came up here 3 years ago this time. And after a big burnout, probably the biggest burnout, and started fresh, new career, new lifestyle, family-centered in a place where families come first in Brisbane, you know, and it's been a really interesting couple of years, I must say.
Yeah, that's nice. And Julie's expertise is in that mental health area, which we're going to hear a lot more about, and Carla's, which I didn't mention, is in leadership. So it'll tie everything up together. And lucky last is Carolyn Lovett. Good morning, Carolyn.
Hi. Hello. Good morning. I am. I'm the active listener. I'm the empath of the group. I take it all in and I feel and hear you and then realise what you need and what we can do to help each other. So I've been in Australia for nearly 29 years and came from England with my husband and arrived pregnant with my daughter. So I have one daughter who was made in England, grown in Australia, which is my claim to fame, bless her. And I've worked in customer service, team leadership, contact centre environment, and staff engagement and recognition for as long as I can remember, always putting those three together in whatever business I was in, because I always felt they worked well together. And that's my passion. I really enjoy that. And I do it for love more than money sometimes.
Yes, but we also like to do it for money though too, Carolyn. I think that's important. But look, that has been something that we have all been doing through the Business Continuity Support Group, is giving a lot of information and a lot of advice away. And we'll continue on that with the podcast interview today, is to answer some questions. Now, Carla, you have come from construction industry and you've probably seen leadership delivered in a whole lot of different ways. Is there something that this particular point in time that you could see that is important for us to take away now, that we make sure that we don't go back to some old habits and bad habits?
I guess from a leadership perspective, for me, what I've been seeing is a lot of reacting and responding to the situation, which we've had to do. And the conversation I was having and also listened to with people like Steve Simpson and Graham Codrington over the last few weeks is the application really now of adaptive leadership, because what we have been doing is applying a very transactional, functional way of going about business. And obviously within our businesses, we have people, and it's really important, I think, that when we apply an adaptive leadership style, we have a more agile way of working, and that combines things like Julie and Caroline will attest to, in terms of, you know, putting our people first, having that agile mindset and bringing creativity and transparency to the way that we're now leading our businesses. You know, we can't continue with pushing stuff out to people in a transactional way. There has to be a collaborative, adaptive way that we're going about that. So that's a really, I guess, consultative way of leading and managing ourselves and also our businesses.
And just on that, to interrupt there, when workplace health and safety people come through organisations to, you know, do safety checks and that, they're also looking at the psychosocial safety aspect. Yeah. And they want to see evidence of that consultative process. They want to see that that's in place, because that's an indicator of a workplace who's looking after the mental well-being of their people. You know, and it's that exact process of talking with your people, finding out where they are and how they sit, that these auditors, safety auditors, are wanting to understand and to be able to see and pinpoint how that process actually works.
Okay, yes. So saying that, is that something that everyone's doing, or have they not done it before, or are they, do you think, feel that they're going to be doing it more so in the future? And I know, Carolyn, that's part of where that customer service, sorry, just hold that. One of the things that you should always do before you start a podcast or any form of recording is turn your phone off and make sure that nothing's coming through on that. Lesson learned. I do have the phone on because I am recording the time, but a beginner's mistake, that one. It's not turned off. Normally it's not in the room. So my question, what was my question? Is that something that
businesses are doing?
You're dealing a lot with businesses, Carolyn, and how the staff of, you know, how that relationship works with their staff as well. So, I've come out, you know, of management in a business, but because we supplied so many industries and so many different businesses, I wouldn't see this happening all the time in the past.
Which part? You're talking about the auditing, the safety auditing?
The adaptive leadership and ensuring that the staff are being looked after as well as they could possibly be.
I think it's a new, and again, adaptive leadership is a great terminology that's now starting to get some legs and it's starting to be socialised a lot more. You can clearly see, with any business you go into, you can clearly see the business that looks after the staff. It really does, the way the staff greet you, the way the staff engage with you, whether it be over the phone, whether it be face-to-face, you can really tell that there's a great working model behind that, taking care of the staff. Staff that aren't engaged and don't have leadership empowering them, helping them to come to work and, as Julie and I said, bring their best self to work in our chat, those staff, it's the engagement you have with those people, you can almost feel that they're not happy in their job. You get minimal response from them, minimal interaction with them. So it is quite interesting, after working in customer service for many years, you do get a feel, for want of a better word, who has got that leadership behind them and who hasn't, and who's happy and engaged at work.
Julie, have you've been, continuing to work through this period of time. Have you seen much change in that now?
Well, look, and, in my role now as mental wellbeing consultant, I'm talking into spaces with organisations about how they're going, how they're coping, and what they've got in place in that space of, creating safe places, for people to be able to turn back up and the workspaces now instead of necessarily workplaces, because this is my workspace, and a lot of people are the same, and to be able to acknowledge that it's a workspace is important. So seeing that change, look, I guess there's three categories. Organisations that were already doing it well are now doing it better. The compression of angst, anxiety, crisis, pandemic has reformed them into something that can be quite powerful. And a lot of those organisations that were already thriving are remaining profitable. Because there's that direct correlation. There are those who weren't so great at engaging and looking after and creating that safe space for their, people. And they woke up during this time and just went, wow, we should be, we're seeing the impact of these people. How can we do better and be better? And those organisations have started to, connect in with people like myself to say, how does this look? What's the process look like? I've been doing lunchtime talks about mental awareness, talking to people about wellbeing. What does that actually look like? And how does a business create those processes, like actually do it, without it being fluffy and putting bean bags in the corner and say, hey, we're a place of wellbeing, to be able to actually do things. And then there are those organisations that are still oblivious and expecting you to just come back to work and doing nothing different. Those organisations are going to find out really, really fast that their people can't turn back up. And they're not doing anything different. They're expecting the old normal to still exist. So we're seeing those three aspects.
And I think that's an important point, because when you look at adaptive leadership, one of the key aspects of that is the ability of the leader to be in a position where they can actually diagnose what is going on. And the term that I keep banding around that I heard in a great conversation a few weeks back was, you've got to get off the dance floor and be on the balcony. And when you can step back onto that balcony and diagnose what's going on, internally from a leadership perspective and also externally in both environments, then you're in a position where you can start looking at how do you bring certainty in an uncertain environment. And then you're back to that whole collaboration, consultative approach in terms of how that team is actually operating. And not all leaders have actually been in that position before. So it's really difficult for them to maybe be as innovative and creative in terms of the expectation that the rest of the team now has on that leader when all of those staff are returning to work. So it's really important that the leaders, I think, feel supportive If we're now asking them to adopt a completely different leadership style, which is one that they may not have had before. That's an important factor,
isn't it? Because it's one thing saying, okay, you've got to adapt this new leadership style, but to have the ability, tools and skills to be able to do that, and how would you go about it? So what you've been saying, I would think that the first thing that any leaders going back into the workplace now would be to diagnose the situation. Am I correct in?
But even before all of that, we've got to understand, like, you know, I see you leaders, I see what you're taking on, you know, and I've been in family business my whole life. And what's keeping those business leaders awake is hasn't changed, it's been added to. Like, you know, we've got all of these people that rely on us to be able to lead so they can turn up into the workplace. You know, the financial burden of the business and, you know, being able to meet these targets and all of these things. Then having to fire people and let people go and having to navigate JobKeeper and all of those things and the time frame between it. And then being able to, you know, navigate all of the nuances that the government's created and then workplaces have created, and then expectation, like the expectations alone on our business leaders is you know, it's choking. And to then say, now be adaptive, you know, in that position, if I wasn't given the tools by the organization to be adaptive, I'd be telling them where to go and just say, well, I can't, you know, I'm choking on all of this expectation.
So that, that's a powerful word, Julie. Choking. So what would be the first step then for somebody getting in a leadership role at the moment? What would be their first thing that they need to do? If we had an action takeaway going, right, you are in this situation, you're feeling like this, we understand that, then what?
Creating a space where someone can ask for help. You know, if you're in an organization where you can't fail, if you're in an organization where you can't ask for help, get out, because you're going to choke, and then you're just going to keep on choking, and then you're going to be responsible for all of these people coming back into a place where they're not able to turn up as their best self, because that best self today is completely different to what it was 6 months ago, 12 months ago. Mm. You know,
Sorry, Carolyn.
I was going to say, and as Julie, the work, the transparency, trust and connection is so important for a leader to show their own vulnerabilities, that they haven't got all the answers, but they so want their team to come back and be well looked after and in turn look after their customers and feel engaged while everything is worked out as they go along. They need to be able to trust their leader, and the transparency allows them to feel that that they need to support their leader as the leader makes this transition themselves. Nobody's got all the answers.
So that's part of it as well, isn't it? The team supporting the leader.
And know that they need it.
And I think that's why it's important, you know, to bring people together and be open and honest and transparent about where you are. And, you know, has this company only got 6 months worth of cash flow left, for example? If it's only got 6 months worth of cash flow left, is that a conversation that you need to share with your employees? Mm-hmm. And if so, how are you going to share that with your employees? And how are you going to get them to maybe help with, okay, how do we scenario plan this situation so that it works out for all of us? You know, there may be certain things that we can still do within our business, you know, cut costs to save jobs. So is everyone going to take a 20% pay cut, for example? Are there stages to how that cash flow is actually going to be used? And when we bring our teams into that process, I think in terms of the scenario planning, you know, what are the risks that we can each see? What are the impacts that could occur and the probabilities that sit around that? We're going to come out with a lot better strategic plans in terms of, okay, we've got 50 ideas. Here's the probability of those 50 things that are actually going to occur. And here's how we're actually now going to approach that from a strategic viewpoint as a team. And having, just saying the 50 ideas, I think having too many ideas is probably also overwhelming from a leadership perspective. So if there were, I don't know, 10 or 12 big strategic things that you are focusing on that year,
you know, a lot of those comes under themes, and it's like, oh, that's an important theme, that makes sense.
But they may have changed as well. So I think Yeah, that's why it's so important to get back together. If you've now got 50 new things that you're maybe wanting to focus on, what are the top three? What are the top three things that are your big, hairy, audacious goals that as a team you're all committed to achieving in the next 6 months while you've got potentially that cash flow issue?
But that comes down to root cause, like in any of this. Like if we've got someone who's in distress, we're not wanting to come in and list all of the things of that anxiety-driven, you know, stuff that's going on. We want to understand root cause. Is it the finance? So to come out and say, look, this is with transparency, these are the things that are going to be our obstacles as a business. What's your viewpoints? How can we approach this? We go straight down into root cause. And as soon as you sit in root cause, you've got something you can do and be productive in. And there's, you can be fruitful.
I think just going back to that point as well in terms of employees just going back to work and things continuing as normal. Yeah. And that's just a ridiculous expectation to set within a business right now, because things aren't going to be normal. And there's probably at least another 18 to 24 months impact on the economy. So as business owners and leaders and managers and individuals on those teams, how are we all going to help with that situation? How are we going to support each other? And what are the things that, you know, we each feel we can bring in terms of value add to assist the survival of that business? I'm not going to use the word thrive, and I'm not going to use the word pivot because they're overused. I'm going to use the word springboard.
I like it. I wrote an article yesterday that's for a magazine, and I used the word unprecedented. Then I wrote in brackets, I promise I'm not going to use the word unprecedented again. It was just a definition of the word unprecedented to say that these aren't really unprecedented times. We have been through recessions. We have been through pandemics. There's history on what we need to do. And each one of those times has created significant shift where we've springboarded to that next
A revolution ahead. And I think if we can embrace change, that's where we're going to see more positivity and success within our teams. So there has to be a willingness for continued disruption for 18, 24 months at least.
Well, you know, and in that we can only do any of those things with, you know, that turning up as best self. And, you know, Caroline, in the people engagement side of it, of enabling people to turn up as their best self, their whole self, and to be able to engage in with the people that in and around us. You know, we got to create those opportunities of recognizing that each person there has their skill base. Each person there has their role. Each person should have clarity in that and be empowered. If we empower our people, right, Caroline, we've got a workforce that is unstoppable, and we're harnessing power instead of dragging these people along.
How would we do that? What would be some practical steps, Caroline?
For empowering, for me, from a leadership point of view, it is the leader. As we said, the adaptive leadership is bringing the team with you on board, but then walking the talk as a leader. If you're empowering them to do to help the business to grow and to help look after the customers and to help to do what their roles are asking of them, then they've also got to show that they value their staff as a leader. So the customer service walk and talk, the thanking them for a great job, encouraging customer feedback to actively show that what they're doing and being empowered to do is having a positive effect on their customers, whether they're internal or external customers, which is very valid as well. We've got to get these cogs turning again. And while your external customers bring the revenue stream in, your internal customers keep those workings going so that you can deliver that external outcome. And we do forget about looking after our internal customer service activities as well. So exactly the leaders doing that, walking the talk.
You almost need to scrap whatever best practice was, all the benchmarking and the KPIs that you were doing before, and pretty much start again. Now, that's a really exciting opportunity for everybody to be a part of driving, you know, the future of that organisation. So as a leader, I think there's some really cool questions you could be asking your teams. You know, what is it that they see in the business that could drive greater success? And, you know, what is it that the leader doesn't know about that business, that that individual within the team knows about the business.
And oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. What is they've experienced during this time where they've been remote, maybe from their colleagues and being geographically dispersed, that has really frustrated them in their jobs that we can now improve on as a team? Because there's some really great effectiveness and efficiency in improvements that we could probably put in immediately as a result of what we've experienced when we've been geographically dispersed. And the leader doesn't have all the answers, you know?
Why would you want to have it all?
Exactly. Well, that's why you have a great team, right? Get the right people on the bus.
Now, Carla, recently at the start of this, you mentioned a friend of yours whose partner was working in a shop where they were coming home to their partner and they were talking about the issues and the challenges with the manager. And you mentioned that this person who works in this shop, what they see that isn't working well, needs to have that voice in a safe environment and not feel condemned or held against them for having that powerful voice to feed back what change needs to happen. So to almost upwardly manage, because they're on the ground watching this stuff happen.
Yeah,
you still advocate for that? You still agree with that?
Totally, 100%. Mm. That's where all those great ideas are to come from. And those people need to be listened to and understood. And once, you know, you've created that openness, you're building the trust, the transparency, and people can speak their truth. And I think that's something that is, for me, really important. I as a leader, want to hear people's truth. And if we make it difficult for them to share that, we're not going to achieve maybe the outcomes that we would really like to achieve. So, yeah, I totally still 100% support that.
But knowing also as a business leader that, you know, always within my teams, it's like, great, come tell me your truth. I understand that. But what's your solution that you see? And because I don't want to be a point where people are coming to talk at me about these things. I've not had time to just sit there and take that on, because then it's another thing on my list to do. Yeah. And this becomes that choke point of, well, hang on a second, you're looking to me to solve your problems. You've got the tools, you've got the ability here. I'm going to empower you. Come up with a solution that you think is practical and functional, and I'll tell you if it's within the business framework to make it doable, and we'll adjust. And that's the foundation of agility, of being able to make those maneuvers and those negotiations and bring in all of those concepts and ideas. That's got your engagement, your connection in, and you're not having to do it all as a leader.
Yep.
You know, other people around you are taking ownership for what's going to happen next.
So if you've been very much a manager instead of a leader, that's going to be very difficult for you to do that. If you've been,
well, then it's finding to get empowerment yourself as a manager. You need to be empowered as a manager, and you've got to ask for that.
And if I can step in, the other thing that we need to factor in as well, because I am all encompassing, it's not about the top tier, high intelligence level of leadership or those shining stars that, you know, are whizzes on the systems. It's also about the person. When we're looking for empowerment and we're looking for solutions, somebody like the frozen food shelf filler can have a simple but very successful idea, as opposed to the bean counter in the office. And this is what tends to happen. Those that don't have a confidence. Sorry?
Nothing wrong with bean counters.
That's a whole new podcast, absolutely, definitely. But what you do find is those with some of the best ideas won't use their voice because they're frightened to, because to them it's probably from past experience, it's deemed to be a silly idea. Even though we know we're going to wipe the board clean and start again, it's still in their mind. While they can see how it will work, they're still deemed to be a silly idea. And the greatest story ever is the Johnny the Bagger story, which is the one I use in my customer service training, which was a young guy who had mental I can't remember what was wrong with him, but he used to be the bagger at a store. And a customer service trainer came in and trained the staff and asked him to make a difference. And he couldn't think what his difference could be. So he went home and he cut out little sayings. And when he was bagging the shopping for people, he put a saying in the bag. Now, by the end of that, several weeks to months later, no one would go to the other queues. They wanted Johnny the Bagger's cue because they wanted his message. Now, to him, that was such a simple thing. We really don't know. These people sometimes come out with the best impactful solution if we allow them to use their voice without judgment.
Like my app design over the weekend.
Sorry,
like your what?
Like my app design that we came up with over the weekend.
And I still like your app design.
Patented already.
I was going to say, I'm sure there's a story in there. But that's the thing, isn't it? That we as individuals can make such a big difference. Now, every individual can make a big difference with this, and we don't give ourselves credit enough or enough confidence to be able to do that. And I think that's probably what's shone through more than anything else through this time has been connections that people have built. And it's, you know, one person with one person, and it's made a difference to people's lives, how they've dealt with being isolated from others and businesses changing. But it's also made a difference, I think, if we can take that back into our workplaces, that connection that we want to really get to know people a little bit more. I think that would not just assist the workplace, but that it would help the leaders understand the situation if people have got that ability to connect. And as you've been saying as well, Julie, recognize that the leaders have been the ones that have been struggling as well, especially if they own the business and the financial responsibility comes down to themselves.
And this is where we look at the long-term mental health repercussions. You know, we're starting to see, you know, spikes already in the crisis point of suicide, you know, and that's the crisis end, and that's the end game for, you know, mental ill health that can be a result of all of this, you know, that burden and that burnout as a result of not having that support, not having that connection in, you know, not having the ability to be productive and fruitful. You know, these all have that damaging effect. But we're all different, and you know, we turn up in so many different ways. And the only way that we're going to find out how someone is traveling is to have that consultative process and being able to ask of, how have you gone? What resources do you need? How have you been impacted? And every answer that you're going to get from your people is going to be completely different. And it's accommodating that. And it's been in a space where all answers are acceptable.
Yes. Sorry, Carla, go on.
There's a great book written by a guy called Vinay Nair, and I think he came out with the expression before Richard Branson. I think Richard Branson just thought it was a great quote, so he ran with that, which is employees first, customers second. And I was just flicking through my notebook. There were three or four principles he put around how he was rolling that out within the business. And the first one was to speak the truth about the company's situation. So, you know, that's something we've talked about today. It was trust through transparency. So we create an open book way of managing the business. We share that information, and we enable employees and managers and leaders and teams to be in a position where they can ask questions of each other. And the third one was to redefine processes to make the supporting functions and the management accountable to the employees. So they're coming up with the ideas, but they're passing them back up the line to management. And then, you know, they're getting credit for the improvement for the improvements and the effectiveness that they're bringing to the company. And they then build, you know, a new passion for their work. And the fourth one was the willingness for continued disruption and perhaps misunderstanding. It's a really, really good book.
What's the name of the book again?
It's called Employees First, Customers Second.
Oh, it's called that. And who's the author?
Yeah. Vinay Nair. VinayNairAR. He ran a big technology company in India. It became one of the fastest growing companies quite quickly because of this change approach that he had to how he was building and growing that business. Now, I've kind of flipped that on its head because I think those principles are great, but right now I think it's people first and results second, because we have to get the internal environment right to actually be able to deliver those results anyway. So if we don't have the inside right, the outside is never going to be right.
No, that's correct. And I'm very much a okay, let's do these five steps to implement these things. So tell me if I've got these steps wrong from what you've been saying. And I know we said a question there that this was the first, and then you said take a step back, but I think it fits into the situation as well. The first one is diagnose. So diagnose where you sit, diagnose where the business sits, where people are. Second one I've got is consult. So consult with all of the interested parties. The third one I've got is redefine what your business is about, your staff, and how they do things in it. The fourth one is to get solutions. And Julie, you said that, you know, come to me with a solution rather than just a question. And the fifth one I've got is implementation. So you then have to implement whatever you do. And I could see a blog coming from this, but I do write notes as I go along. I do this with all of the interviews because I like to give a bit of the episode notes as well so people can jump on. But does that fit? Does that, those five steps, if you were...
The last one is probably the hardest one, I think, for, you know, the execution phase of those new initiatives.
I disagree.
How to keep, like, from a strategy point of view, how do you keep that alive?
Well, and this is where, like, through that consult, through the diagnosis and through the consultation and through the solution focus, people are taking ownership of that implementation themselves, aren't they? And that's through, like, job clarity, job design, the engagement, you know, and the empowerment. If we've done those things and people have taken ownership of their roles, execution happens with you being able to lead through that instead of having to amp up your, like, your workload. And so I've always loved the execution part because it's like, okay, my job's done, thank you, get on with it. So I'm going to disagree.
Well, I think if you don't get the diagnosis right,
correct,
what you're trying to execute is never going to come up in the first place.
Correct.
So actually the execution phase then becomes the worst phase ever because you've not actually put the work in up front.
But those up front stuff means that the implementation is easy because it's taking care of itself because you've done all of the hard work up front.
Most businesses really struggle with the execution. They'll spend days doing their strategy planning. They'll spend days rolling it out to their teams, and then they coast along and they're all really excited with that for a few months, and then all of a sudden.
But they do that in isolation. So what do they expect? There's no engagement. There's no ownership from the people around them because you haven't done the consultative.
Which goes back to where we started with the diagnosis.
Absolutely.
And that's, yes, Julie, I'm with you on this.
Correct.
Because I've seen businesses and I've been involved with businesses that we're always trying to find solutions to things. And once we've got a solution, how do we implement it? Or how do we execute it without going truly back and stepping back into that diagnosis phase and really consulting with all of the stakeholders? And as I said, with that article I wrote the other day, suppliers are such an important factor in our businesses as well and the relationships.
Manufacturing, importing and exporting, and manufacturing with, you know, one item might have 30 or 40 different components to it. So, because I'm also a cosmetic chemist, so developing hair care products and doing that side of it.
We need those right now.
And, you know, in that space, if I didn't have great relationships with my suppliers where I could ring them up and say, I've got a problem, I need support, this is what I was thinking as a solution, is that doable? The company wouldn't be in business without that because you're having to negotiate 30 different organizations into one product.
It's all of the stakeholders. It's not just
a continual iterative cycle. That's the thing I think to remember. You know, the diagnosis needs to be a constant, which is where you have to have a willingness for the continued disruption because change is constant, change is inevitable, and the ability to manage that change is a necessity. So it's a continual cycle, I think.
Yeah. Yes. And then we're not talking about change for change's sake. We're talking about change as adjustments to a better now.
And that's, things are changing in the world, not just because of COVID and not just because of the recession, but things are changing constantly in the world of technology and people's needs and what they how they how we do things. It's really fascinating.
That's another podcast. Stop
Carolyn,
it. How long have we got?
how does this fit in with what you're looking at, those 5 steps? Do you see that as a simplistic way of describing what we've been doing?
Absolutely, but and as Julie added in, that the whole success of this is down to the empowerment and the engagement of staff and the recognition. If you're asking your staff to adopt something that A, they've come to back to the business with some element of fear, that they have an aversion to change because they feel like they've gone through so much grieving and stress right in the pandemic, then as you start to see those changes, as you start to see the business benefits, then you must recognize and acknowledge that you're observing these positive changes. If you don't, then what's the point of them doing it? They'll just default back to original behaviors. So the engagement and the value, showing the value through recognition is really important to get that momentum so that you don't have to keep re-diagnosing. You should get some traction and you should get some outcomes and some changes.
I've got a question, and it is this question is what if you both had one, what is one great question that a leader could ask their team to get help with the diagnosis?
What
One
could
good.
we be doing more of successfully?
What could we be doing more of successfully? That's from Carla.
And the bell just confirmed it's a good one. Sorry about that. Deliveries. It's all that home shopping time. Forget what my question was. Okay, rewind.
So what could we be doing more of successfully? Okay, so I mean, that's saying we're doing things well. What could we do more of successfully? What about you, Jolie? What's a question that you could ask?
Well, and that's coming from a positive standpoint, isn't it? You know, that's, you know, the great to have that understanding. I guess it's asking, and you know, my mission is, you know, creating safe workspaces where every person can turn up as their best self today. And it's understanding it, I guess the question would be, what do you need to be able to turn up in this workspace to feel safe so that you can turn up as your best self every day? You know, what is that thing? What are those things?
Yeah, and that's almost then like what's going well in your role. More often than not, I think people will start with what's not going well in their role, which is great because then you've got something that you can build on and improve. And then hopefully they'll give you something that's going really well in their role as well. And again, that's something you can look to improve on.
You know, someone might say my job design, you know, role clarity. They might say, I just want to be able to turn up and have a space where I can go and have peace and quiet when I'm not having a great day. It can be anything. So if that question's going to be asked, you can't come in with your own solutions and what the answers should be. It has to be completely open for their own interpretation. Like anyone who's done coaching, I think we've all done coaching here before. You can't bring yourself and your solutions into that space. It has to be a genuine, what is it that you need? And then be able to
Absolutely.
say, and then be able to, you know, root cause what that, you know, thing is, and then be able to say, well, we've got processes in place to have job clarity. Let's go through that. When do you want to do it? Straight away, the burden lifts because finally I get clarity, or you know, finally I can have a space where when I'm having a high anxiety day, I can just not be disturbed and I can just field calls and I can set up a process where it's okay to do that.
Yes. Yep. No, I
Like
get that.
any number of things.
Absolutely. And what about you, Carolyn?
So for me, it's just the for as a leader asking, how can I help and how can I acknowledge you?
Love it.
How can I help and how can I acknowledge it? That's simple, isn't it? But it's just how can I help is people go, no, I'm fine, but how can I acknowledge you adds that extra component to it.
That's beautiful, Caroline, because I think that's what we all want to feel, you know, where we belong is to be acknowledged. And that we can turn up as all of who we are.
Back to you.
No,
podcast last week talking about, you know, okay, what I've achieved today is I've managed to put my pants on. Whereas today I've rocked up and I've been able to turn up to a podcast with three of us this morning.
I know.
Yeah.
It's all fully clothed.
Well, we still only have to be half clothed. I'm running a breakfast meeting on Friday, and I said to my husband, "I'm going to be fully dressed to go out because it's live, it's real." Right, Caroline, we're just going to wrap up now. So, tell me a little bit about your business and if people want to get in touch with you.
So, my business is Credible Source Solutions, and I create positivity in a workplace because everybody deserves to have a good day. And it is about staff engagement, employee recognition, and customer service training. So your staff are happy, your customers are happy, and you as a business owner are in turn happy. And to get hold of me, my website is crediblesource.com.au, and my contact details are on that website and email.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Carolyn. crediblesource.com.au. It's a nice, easy one. And Julie.
So my business is Julie Gillespie, a mental wellbeing consultant. So in that I deliver services around mental health first aid training. So I'm an accredited instructor with Mental Health First Aid Australia. So that's the primary basis of the work that I do. But I also have workshops around connecting into wellbeing being able to show that pathway into what wellbeing actually is and how to, you know, create that self-awareness to be able to sit in that space comfortably. In that I also do strengths coaching. Part of my history and background of having mental ill health for over 20 years, I'm trying to build that scaffolding around organizations and other people to be able to see the signs of mental ill health, but also to find and turn up with all that you are, using your strengths and experiences and everything within you to be able to be your best self every day. So then to contact me, my website is julie.gillespie.direct. Gillespie is G-I-L-L-E-S-P-I-E. So it's up on screen. And that's got phone number, emails and all of the rest. So it's nice and simple. And I can do mental health first aid training fully online at the moment. We're going to be face to face soon, which is a preferred method, but that comes in so many different formats. And I also do lunchtime talks. So, and that's part of my advocacy work. So I'm happy to go in to any organisation, virtually or live, to be able to talk about mental health awareness.
Excellent. No, thank you, Julie. And Carla, you get to go first and last.
Yes. You did that on purpose, didn't you, Janine? So I guess when owners or business leaders have got all of those competing priorities and maybe there's not enough resource within their leadership and management teams, what I like to do is provide my services around leadership strategy, perhaps scenario planning and change, and provide a real fresh approach to work with those teams, the leaders and the managers, in terms of coming up with a fresh approach to the strategy and the solutions and the products and services that they've got within their business. So over the last 20 years, I've spent my career building up businesses and taking them from loss-making entities to profitable, sustainable entities. So I guess I've got a bit of a flair for really starting to turn things around when maybe they're not looking so great. My business is called the CWX Advisory Group, and you can find me at www.cwxgroup.com.au.
Okay, thank you very much, Carla. So it's cwxgroup.com.au, and it was Julie Gillespie with a double L dot direct, julie.gillespie.direct. I got you. Okay.
And I suppose the one thing to pull it all together is we're all part of the Business Continuity Support Group, which again has its own site, which is businesscontinuity.support. So if you wanted to get a real good feel of how all these parts fit together, that will deliver a great business outcome as you return to work, it's a good place to go to there as well, because there's some other professionals on that site that are helping us to make sure businesses turn up ready to work.
Thank you for bringing that up, Caroline.
And just in that, businesses at this point need help with that diagnosis, because there's this fear element of being able to see it all sometimes. And to have someone come in and to be able to help in that diagnosis space is really important. And I guess that's where we all come in, you know, from different aspects of business to be able to help with that, but also to navigate that consultative process. You know, how do we speak into an organisation, and how do we get our people to speak into the organisation and tell their truth? That's something that can be, you can get help with, and it doesn't have to, you don't have to be able to do all of that. So that's really important to know as well. And we talk through that in the business continuity support.
We do, and we're working with somebody that can come in and look at your finances. We've got people that can look at leadership, mental health, customer service, sales, and speaking, and also in, I know it's all of the across here, and also marketing, and you know, making sure you're getting the right message out with your business at this particular time as well. So please, you've had a great opportunity to hear from Julie and Carla and Carolyn as to their expertise on their fields. But I would highly recommend going to the businesscontinuity.support, and you just register your name, and then you can download everything for free. There's amazing information there. But also visit each of the websites for the ladies individually, because you may be looking for something specific that they can help with as well. I really want to thank you this morning. As I said, there's two firsts today. Is one is doing it with video as well as audio, and the second first is having three of you online, and that worked really well. I think we've got a little bit used to it with our continuity conversations and chatting with them. Great advice, great information, and I'm sure that people will be able to find you and get in touch if they just want to ask some more questions as well. Thank you for that. I really appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
You're most welcome. Excellent. And that's another episode of the We Are Women podcast. I am Janine Vosby, your host, and you can find me with my website, janinevosper.com. That's nice and simple. And remember, when you're listening to the podcast, if you enjoyed what you've heard, to leave a 5-star review is much appreciated. I look forward to either hearing, seeing, or both on the next episode of the We Are Women podcast. Have a great week. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
So, do you feel stuck in a rut in business? Visit speechperfect.com.au and download Janine's free ebook to avoid the 5 most common stumbling blocks women face in business. It's jam-packed full of tips to overcome the barriers that could be holding you back from the success that you dream your business will be. We would love you to leave a review of today's episode and share this podcast with other women in need of entrepreneurial inspiration. Subscribe to the next episode now and join the We Are Women community.